Good morning. Israel had been in slavery in Egypt for many years. And in answer to prayers, God sent Moses to Pharaoh with this command: "Let my people go." Of course, Pharaoh didn't listen to Moses, to God. And so God brought down 10 plagues upon Egypt to convince them that it was in their best interest to honor the request that Moses had made. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me over to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. We'll be looking at the 12th chapter. And as you find it, it describes here the first and the most important festival in the history of the Jewish people. And it's called the Passover. From the days of Moses, even unto today, if you are a Jew that is God-fearing, you and your families are going to partake of this Passover as closely as possible. So this Passover meal celebrates the love of their God who delivered them and freed their ancestors from slavery and passed over their homes when the plague that came that would have taken their life because of the sacrificial lamb, because of the blood that was over the door. But the Passover was only the first feast in a week-long festival that becomes known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And if you're with me, let's begin in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 12. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this same day I will have brought your enemies, your armies, out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our household. So the people bowed their heads in worship. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. That's the most interesting read. You can visualize what happened that day when it originally happened, and a feast that they continued to observe. Story told about an EMT that was working in the emergency room one night when a father brought in his son, and the boy had poked a tire up his nose. Little toy truck, a wheel from it. Well, the father was embarrassed, but the EMT assured him that that's unfortunately something that often happens with little kids. So the technician very quickly removed the tire, and the father and son were on their way. But a few minutes later, the father was back in the ER asking if he could talk to the EMT privately. So the father walked in to the examining room where he had been before, and he said to the EMT, well, while we were on our way home, I was looking at that little tire, and I was wondering, how on earth did my son get that little tire up his nose? And then he went on to explain the problem, but it only took a few seconds for the technician to take the tire out of the dad's nose. Some things don't belong in your nose. They might fit. They might not even cause any pain. They just don't belong there. And likewise, I think this morning we can say that there are certain things that don't belong in our bodies. And there are certain things that don't belong in our minds. And there are certain things that don't belong in our homes. And that's what intrigues me about the passage we read here in Exodus chapter 12. Because I think that is exactly what God is trying to teach us when he gives the instructions to those Israelites. He's saying to us, some things don't belong in your home, in your mind, or in your bodies. You see, this Passover represented, it symbolized the freedom that God wanted to give to his people. But that feast was followed by 6 days more that focused on the fact that after God had given them their freedom, he required his people to remove things from their lives and from their homes. People were instructed not only to not eat that which had leaven, but they had to get rid of any leaven, we would call that yeast today, from in their home. And if you were caught eating that which had yeast or leaven in it, it says you were going to be cut off from the people. You were going to be shunned, ostracized from the rest of the group of the Israelites, because God used yeast as a symbol of sin. So all throughout the Old Testament, when the Israelites offer burnt offerings to God, it's always with the use of unleavened bread. And that thought carries over to the New Testament. If you have your Bibles, you might look at a quick part of a verse in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, beware, this is Christ's words, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The leaven of the Pharisees. When the church at Corinth was having problems because there was a man within their congregation that was engaged in sexual immorality, Paul wrote that they shouldn't associate with that man until that man repented. They wouldn't even be allowed to eat with that man until he repented. And if they insisted on kind of looking the other way, he gives this comment. If you're with me, it's over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. He says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Yeast was used by God to portray sin. Which made me wonder, why did God use yeast or leaven to portray sin in Scripture? And as I thought about that, I remembered back to my grandma. Grandma had yeast. Old German. At a farm in Rungy, south of San Antonio. And as a little kid, I would go there, and in her kitchen, I would watch her prepare her homemade bread. And it was a time-consuming thing. She got all the dough and got all prepared. I saw her knead it, and then she would put it in a bowl, and she covered it with a clean kitchen towel and let it sit there for a while. And then after it rose, I guess, I was just a little kid, she took it out and she punched around on it, and she placed it in the pan and put it in the oven. And my biggest problem was having the patience to wait for it to cool before I ate it sliced with a little butter. I suspect most of you have had a similar experience. And I compared that bread to the bread we just ate here. A little square. That's bread. Sometimes it's a matzah cracker. It's nothing but wheat flour and, in this case, shortening. Hard, flat, small. What's the difference in the two breads? Yeast. It's that simple. Yeast made my grandma's bread rise. Sin acts in our lives a lot like yeast acts in a loaf of bread. In the first place, it makes grandma's bread taste good. Yeast does help the bread rise, cook, and taste good. Now, we just ate this little unleavened loaf. And I guess you would probably agree with me that it doesn't taste so hot. It really doesn't have any taste to it at all. But grandma's bread tasted great. And you can go to the bakery and the grocery store down the street, and you're going to find similar bread that's fresh out of the oven, and it all tastes great. We buy it and we eat it because it tastes good. Likewise, sin tastes good, in a sense. If it didn't taste good, I'd feel good. Nobody would be tempted to do it. Secondly, it doesn't take a whole lot of yeast to make a big change in that flour. Just a little bit mixed in allows that bread to rise. Similarly, when sin enters our life, it doesn't take but a little bit to change who we are, to warp our character, thirdly, yeast makes the bread really look like it contains more flour than it really has. I mean, you can lay a cracker up here and you can lay a loaf of bread up here and they may have a similar amount of flour in them. The difference is the loaf of bread has yeast in it and it puffs all up. Though when we cut in it, a lot of it's just air in there. But it looks like there's more to it. We go down to Dunkin' Donuts, Shipley's, one of those places, and what do we want? We want a big donut. There's probably not any more flour in the big donut than the little donut. They just let it rise a little longer. Sin makes us believe that we have more in our lives than we really do. We can have a little bit of bitterness and a little bit of hatred in our lives, and all of a sudden we feel like we have more power over people than we really do. We can have a little bit of hypocrisy, like Jesus talked about, or bigotry. It makes us think that we're more important than we actually are. I mean, we do all the crude things on television or sexual material, and maybe it makes us think that we're mature and cool. We can go out and shoot up with something. Maybe it makes us think that we have control of our lives and we can do whatever we want, but it's not true. None of it's true. Sin just makes us think we are or have more than what we really do. Something else about yeast. Maybe it's something we're not really excited about. And that is, it causes things to mold and decay. I got a loaf of bread sitting on my counter. Sometimes I make a sandwich with it. Sometimes I don't. Eventually it gets hard, but sometimes I open it up and lo and behold, it's all gray inside. I guess I let it sit there too long. But I can go to the pantry and I can pull out one of those boxes of crackers that have been up there for 6 months and they're still fine. What's the difference between the two? Yeast causes it to mold and decay. The same way sin has the power to cause our lives and to our homes to decay and to rot. And that's why God hates sin. Because he knows it destroys us. So let's go back to where we are here in Exodus chapter 12. What's the lesson? It's pretty simple. It says we need to get the yeast out. We need to be able to create a home life that's going to be safe from the destructive forces that are outside these doors. And how do we keep sin out? The same way we keep an intruder out of our house. We lock the door. We shut the windows. We are the gatekeepers. We have the key. I could go through a long laundry list, I guess you could say, of things that we need to keep out. But you're probably familiar with all of them. We probably got a television sitting in our house. And there's some really great channels on it. There's some that are not so hot. There are some movies there. There are some books we might have on the shelf. There are some magazines that may be laying on the coffee table. There may be a computer over there with a zillion websites that all teach us immorality. Now, we don't want our families to learn about those things or to do those kinds of things. We raise up our kids. Where are you going? I'm going to go out with a bunch of friends. Who are your friends? And as they begin to name them off, we all will have an impression. That one's okay, but that one's not so hot. So we want to screen our kids' ability to go out with those whom we think will be a bad influence. We think about alcohol and we think about drugs. We know what they can do. So why do we want those in our home? Gambling takes place everywhere. You can do it out of your home, sitting on your couch right now. We know what that can mean to the destruction of the finances of a family. So why do we want to participate in that? God says, get rid of the yeast. Anything that would hurt our family shouldn't be let in the front door, the back door, through the window, or through the cable. But you know, this Exodus chapter 12 is not about children. Someone noted, children are not very good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. That's why God didn't teach, go get the yeast away from the children. He said to get it completely out of the house, out of every room, out of the lives of everyone that is involved in the home. So if it's bad for the kids, it's bad for you and me. You know, we read over in 1 Corinthians 5:9 something Paul said. He repeats almost the exact same words over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. He said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I think he's talking about my grandma's dough. Or maybe he's talking about me and you. All it takes is a simple opening of the door to let sin into your home, and it's going to affect the lives of everyone that you love. And that's what God's teaching us here. So look a little closer here in Exodus 12. There's something here that we just pass over. This feast takes place once a year, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And he says, once a year, clean house. Does that sound like something we do? Hey, it's not springtime, but we've coined that phrase. We get rid of stuff. Trisha and I walk out in the garage, and we look. We say, everything is in here except room for my truck. It's full of stuff. You name it, it's there. And the interesting thing is neither she nor I ever planned to put any of that stuff there. It just seemed to accumulate over the years. First it takes a couple of feet, then it takes the whole car space. It takes more. Same thing happens in terms of worldly influences. Despite our best efforts, some of the world's crummy thinking and immorality can slip into our home. So in this Exodus 12 story, God's saying to the Jewish people, at least once a year, before we have this Feast of Unleavened Bread, go search your house and get rid of every crumb of yeast that you can find. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your house. Now, I've seen the little packets of yeast. You dissolve in the water and do all of this kind of stuff, and it's even about the temperature and all. I mean, that's dust. Now, you're going to go look in the kitchen. But if you look on the kitchen floor, where did you take the trash out? Is it in the garbage can? Is it out in the garage? You had to hunt to find a speck of yeast in your home. He's saying, go look for it and remove it. So as we walk through a house and we look at our stuff, we say, well, you know, that book, that magazine, you know, that movie that I bought, maybe those are things that I need to throw out. There's a beautiful little story that illustrates this. It's about a little girl who came to her mother one day, and she was preparing a salad for dinner. And casually, the girl walks up, chit-chats for a moment, and says, Mom, may I have permission to go to the amusement center over in the mall with some of my friends? Well, Mom knew some of the friends. But more importantly, Mom knew that the amusement center had a bad reputation as to what all was there. So Mom said, no. What do you think the girl said? But all of the girls get to go. Mom didn't say a thing. She was quiet. But all of a sudden, while she was making this salad, she reached back into the sink and she got some of the wilted lettuce that she wasn't intending to put in the salad, and she threw it in the salad bowl. Some of the scrapings from the vegetables, threw it in the salad bowl. The girl looks astonished and asks her mother, what are you doing? Mom just casually replied, I just thought that if you didn't mind putting garbage into your heart and mind, you wouldn't mind a little garbage in salad. The Feast of Unleavened Bread focused on removing the symbol of sinfulness from the home. But it began with the celebration of their freedom from slavery. It began with the Passover meal. It wasn't the removal of sin from the home that made them free. God had made them free. But it was the removal of sin because God had made them free. That's not simply an Old Testament thought. Over to the book of Romans, to the 6th chapter. And as you find it here, there's a discussion taking place. Basically saying, it pleased God to remove our sins. So some wise person would say, well, if it pleases God so much to remove our sins, let's just go sin a lot. Keep God happy. That's American thinking, isn't it? Let's begin in verse 1, Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. What's it saying here in Romans 6? Our freedom came by way of Jesus. Our sins were removed when we were baptized into Christ and they were washed away. But as we came up from that watery grave, we're a new creature. The blackboard's been erased. Now why do you want to go fill it up again with sin? Just so God can have the opportunity to forgive those sins? No. We are free from sin. Basically, let's try to keep it that way. Oh yeah, we'll sin. But let's don't go looking for it. God removes the yeast from our past. Now keep it out of your home. Keep it out of your mind. Keep it out of your hearts. Out of your bodies. This morning we're going to sing the song of invitation. And while we do it, we're going to think about going home and cleaning our house. More important, we're going to talk about cleaning our hearts. Christ wants to forgive your sin. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Are you willing to confess that faith? Not only before us, but before him. Are you willing to repent of your sins? Have them washed away in the watery grave of baptism to rise as a new creature? And then going out there and keeping ourselves clean. We need to do that. Let's do it today. Come if you will.